Track 5, Alison in Orkney. In November and December, Alison regaled us with an account of her remarkable trip to the Orkneys. This month, we have the final instalment.
Shall we continue my odyssey around Orkney and Shetland? You may remember that I left you wondering whether Shetland would prove more rewarding than Orkney as far as wildlife was concerned. Well, hold you hard, as they say here in Norfolk. The ferry journey from Kirkwall in Orkney to Lerwick in Shetland took 7 hours overnight. We boarded the ferry when it arrived from Aberdeen at about 11 p.m. The wait in the queue was enlivened by watching other vehicles boarding, because guess what? We all had to reverse on, even those people towing caravans. Goodness me, that was an entertainment, I can tell you. Anyway, we soon got our heads down in our cabin, and mercifully it was a calm crossing. We arrived in a rather dull and cold Lerwick first thing the next morning, excited to be in this most northerly part of the British Isles. Shetland's main islands are Mainland, Yell and Unst, and we immediately set off to explore the southern tip of Mainland, which is known as Sumbra Head. Now, the guidebook told us that regularly seen from here were killer whales, minke whales, humpback whales, dolphins and porpoises, but it is also one of the best places to observe puffins. So we were mighty excited when we drew up in the car park and saw various groups of people with their cameras at the ready. Well, whales, porpoises and dolphins were there none, but there were indeed plenty of puffins. These little birds are called Taminories by the islanders, and they're certainly very happy to be observed at close quarters, some of them standing and obviously just posing for the cameras. At last, we thought, some of the famous wildlife. Sadly, I have to tell you that this proved to be the only wildlife sighting on the whole trip, apart from a couple of seals basking on a rock a few days later. And anyway, we get to see plenty of seals in Norfolk. But Shetland did have other delights in store for us, and as the weather proved to be marginally better than it had been on Orkney, we were able to appreciate the stunning beauty of the coastline and the peaceful, uncrowded villages and roads. Owing to its relative proximity to Norway and the forays by Vikings, many of the settlements in Shetland have a distinctively Scandinavian air about them, with colourful houses dotted around secluded bays and coves. Before we left home, we'd been given instructions from an old university friend to go and visit his wife's niece, who lives in a village on the island of Yell. So we set off to find her, having been told that she lived in the house behind the village shop, opposite the village hall. And find her we did, and were invited into her lovely house, which had a great view out to sea. Now, knowing that this lady's family hailed from North London, I was intrigued to know how she came to be living on Shetland. She told us she'd lived there since she was 12, as a result of her father having visited a friend who lived in Shetland and him having fallen in love with the place. Apparently, within 6 months, he'd uprooted his family and settled them there. Quite a change from North London, I would imagine, for a 12-year-old. Incidentally, while we were on Yell, we were told that the island is famous for its otters. Did we see any? You guessed it, not one. One of the attractions of travelling to the most northerly part of anywhere is that one comes across the most northerly this and the most northerly that. On Unst, the most northerly of the Shetland Islands, we came across the most northerly post office, the most northerly church, and possibly the most northerly and most comfortable bus shelter, as well as the most northerly inhabited house. The most northerly church is in a village called Haraldswick, said to be named after King Harald Fairhair, regarded as the first king of Norway, who apparently moored his fleet there in about 875 AD. This Methodist church was actually only built in the early 1990s to replace an earlier building which had been badly damaged by high winds. Not a surprise on Shetland. It's built along the lines of a Norwegian wooden staved church and has a red aluminium roof and a tiny spire. To the side is a separate bell turret built as a millennium project in 2001 to house the bell, which dates back to 1867. Needless to say, we paid a visit to the most northerly post office, where we bought a postcard to send to our granddaughter. Here the mail is franked with an image of two puffins. So we wrote the postcard there and then, put a stamp on it, and took a photo of me popping it into the box. I seem to recall it was one of the rare occasions when the sun was shining as well. Hooray! As for the bus shelter, well, this was a delight. Bobby's Bus Shelter, named after local boy Bobby McCauley, has become a focal point for locals and a must-see for visitors. When Bobby was at school on the island, he got fed up with the often long, cold, wet waits for his bus in the morning, and so he wrote a letter to the local newspaper requesting a shelter to wait in. The shelter was duly built, and soon afterwards a sofa appeared, and a table, and a carpet, making it the most comfortable place to wait for a bus in the UK. When we visited, there was indeed a comfy chair, a table with a pot plant, some books, and a rug. And so eventually we arrived in the far north of this most northerly of the British Isles. And you'll never guess what we found there. Go on, have a guess. No? Well, I will tell you. It's a spaceport. Yes, on the site of an old World War II radar station, construction is underway for a vertical launch site for space rockets. Needless to say, the day we went was one of those misty, murky days which we had become accustomed to on this trip, and as we approached the site it did look rather otherworldly and forbidding. If we'd not known that this was a serious project, we could have been forgiven for thinking that it was all a big hoax, as a notice at the entrance read, "Trespassers will be arrested by aliens and transported to Mars." Clearly someone had a sense of humour, but I certainly didn't feel that I wanted to hang around there for very long. Anyway, the first launch was apparently scheduled for autumn 2024, but you may have heard on the news a few months ago that there was a fire on the launch pad when they were doing some testing. So I think it's a case of watch this space. Well, the time was soon approaching when we'd be saying goodbye to this part of the world and heading to the ferry, which would take 12 hours overnight to get from Lerwick to Aberdeen. The guidebook once again told us that Unst was a great place for sightings of whales and other cetaceans, and we kept our eyes peeled, but it was the same story as before. None of these wonderful creatures put in an appearance. Boarding the ferry to begin our long journey back to Norfolk, I felt sad to be leaving these remote and fascinating islands, with their friendly people, inspiring historical monuments and stunning scenery. It had been quite an adventure.
Thank you, Alison. I wonder where you may be taking us next.